God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for tuning in to our show. This is Pastor Larry from Southwest Radio Church. Have you ever known a successful, productive person who was a pessimist? Probably not. There aren't any around. When we are optimistic and positive, we praise God. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. There are many things over which we have no control. A DUI crashes into your new car. Your employer tells you he's facing budget cuts and you've got to go. We can't control the weather or the economy, but we can learn to control our attitude and our response to those situations. How do we do that? Well, by giving a positive interpretation to things which might seem negative but really aren't. Pastor Larry, are you saying that we have to lie to ourselves? Absolutely not. The positive interpretation comes from the Bible. Romans 8:28 says that God is working all things for the good of those who love Jesus. So let's all take the long look, look beyond the present. The Bible tells us what we should be looking for. Titus 2:13 reminds us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is it possible, friends, that there is an ancient mystery determining America's future? Well, we're going to continue to pursue that idea with best-selling author Jonathan Kahn. We've been visiting with Jonathan and talking about his new book, The Harbinger 2. In The Harbinger 2, you will witness the return of Nouriel Anagoran and the mysterious figure known as the Prophet. Jonathan Kahn, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Always a joy to be with you, Larry. Always.
Well, as we've been doing in the series, give us a little bit of a recap of what we covered in our previous program.
Yeah, first of all, for those who know The Harbinger, you know, this was something I knew was just the beginning. And I knew there was going to be a time because the mystery of judgment that where we are right now in America has followed the pattern of The Harbinger. The Harbinger has not stopped. The Harbingers themselves have not stopped. And it is actually behind what is happening right now and where we are heading. So I knew the time was going to come that I had to write it, but I could not write it until I had to go ahead as I prayed from the Lord. The time is now. And so now, for the first time, it's The Harbinger 2. What has happened since? What are the mysteries behind the mysteries that I could not reveal before? Now it is. What has happened since? Has it progressed? It has. Where are we now? Is it behind what's happening right now? And where are we heading? And what do we need to know for the future? Well, that is all now going to be in The Harbinger 2, which is the subtitle is The Return, The Harbinger 2. And I'll just one note that Larry mentioned, what you heard when he mentioned the Prophet and Nouriel. For those who don't know, The Harbinger is all real. Everything that's in the new book, everything's real. That's right. But I reveal it through a kind of prophetic way of doing it, which is through a prophet sharing these things. So just so you know, so it has that in it, which, you know, hopefully makes it enjoyable. But the point is, but everything that's revealed is real.
Yeah, and I do want to speak about it being enjoyable. It's a great read. I mean, we're not talking about some kind of a study. This is exciting stuff, but there's so much Bible, there's so much current events in it, you can see it just panning out. So I did want to put that word in. But Jonathan, what are some of the other mysteries that The Harbinger 2 contains, and what will you share as we get into this program?
Well, this program, I believe we're going to get into the judgment tree. We're going to get into the image that appeared in New York City. We're going to get into the Ninth of Tammuz mystery. We might get into an inscription that the president did. We'll see, depending on time. But I'm going to touch on some of the mysteries in this one that have happened since the Harbinger. What has happened? It's going to, you know, heading up to where we are now. So it has not stopped. I mean, in any way. So let's first look at. Remember, one of the Harbingers is that tree that they planted in New York City. And, you know, this is the biblical, this is, you know, it says in the scripture that the sycamores fall. Well, a sycamore was struck down at 9/11 at Ground Zero, and it says we will plant cedars, but in Hebrew, the word is erez tree, which can mean cedar, can mean a pine tree, it means a conifer tree, it means a strong tree. The word actually means strong. So what happens? 3 years after 9/11, a tree appears at the corner of Ground Zero. It's in the sky. It's being lowered down to the very place where the sycamore stood that fell. And they're doing exactly what it says, the ancient act of judgment. They're planting the tree. It's defiance of the Erez tree where the sycamore stood. And they have a ceremony around it. And they call it the Tree of Hope. You know, this is going to represent we're coming back stronger. Well, that's all there in Isaiah 9:10. Amazing. They have no idea that they're following it. Well, here's the thing. What happened? That was the seventh harbinger. What happened to that tree? Because, I mean, that's still, you know, they planted it there. Well, there's a sign in the Bible of a nation when God, and you've seen it, I mean, we've all seen it, when God speaks about judgment of a nation. It could be about a person, but it's particularly about a nation or a kingdom. And the sign is the sign of the withering away will wither. The branch will wither. This will be a withering thing. You know, Jesus cursed the fig tree, withering away. The tree of hope, what happened to it? It began to wither away. Here was the sign of America coming back, you know, without God, stronger than ever. It started withering and withering away. They tried to save it. They did all sorts of things. They changed the soil. They planted bushes along. The eight bushes, four bushes that were away from it were prospering. The four bushes that were near the tree withered away. They could not figure it out what it was, no matter what they did. And see, it's a sign in the Bible of a nation maybe existing on the outside, but inside it's withering away. America, even though it's standing on the outside, spiritually it's withering away. Morally, culturally, as you can tell, it's withering away. And so here all these things are going on while the symbol of America is right there at Ground Zero in New York City, withering away in the sight of everybody. And then, but not only that, there's another sign of judgment where God says, I will break off the branch. I will break his branch. I will break the bough. I will break it off. You can read it throughout the Bible. Well, here's the amazing thing. The President of the United States, Obama, came down to Ground Zero on the anniversary, and he has a scripture to read, so he reads it, but he changes the word of the scripture. The scripture says, God will break the bow. Meaning he'll break the bow and arrow, he'll break the, you know, the weapons, he'll bring peace. So it's a blessing, national blessing. But Obama changed it. I'm not saying he knew what he was doing, but he changed it. And he changed it, and he said he will break the bough. That's the branch. That's not blessing. That's a sign of national judgment. So here he changed it, and when the White House published the scripture, they changed the word in writing and changed it from a blessing to national judgment. He will break the branch. And now, right near Obama, right on the corner of Obama, he says that, is that tree. And that tree, he says, they're going to break that, and they start, then after that, they start breaking the boughs off that tree. The bough of the branches of the Tree of Hope, they start breaking it off. Thinking that they're going to save it because it's all withered. Finally, the final sign of judgment is the fall or destruction of the Erez tree. See, the fall of the sycamore is one thing, but the fall of the Erez tree, which we read as cedar, but Erez tree is different because it means strong. You can't just push this thing down. This is strong. So if that falls, it's going to be something gigantic. So it's going to be the destruction of a nation. So what happens is the Tree of Hope has fallen. It was destroyed. And you know when it fell? It fell on a Hebrew holy day. They destroyed it on Passover, which is also about judgment and redemption. And not only that, Larry, but when they destroyed it, you know, the Bible speaks about signs in the heavens of judgment. And one of them is the blood turning, the moon turning blood, you know, red. Now, I'm not saying that this is the fulfillment of the apocalypse, but what I'm saying is here, amazing thing happens. When the Tree of Hope is fallen on Passover, struck down, representing America, in the heavens, the moon turns blood red. It eclipsed that very day. Now, interesting, because the other harbinger, the tower, the interesting thing about the tower, you know, we'll get into that, but when they completed that tower, the day they put that spire on the Tower of Defiance, that was the day that the sun was darkened, the other sign of biblical judgment, eclipse, same day. Now, the other thing is this, if the sycamore being struck down speaks of 9/11, what does the striking down of the Erez tree that replaced it, which is a much stronger tree, it speaks of something much greater than 9/11 coming to America.
Well, what about that image that appeared in New York City?
Well, Larry, one of the signs of judgment, before judgment came to Israel, is that images appear in the land. The nation, when a nation drives God out, other gods come in. Foreign gods come in. Idols come in. That happened with Israel. America started driving God out, especially in the 60s, drove God out of school, out of the public square, out of culture, took down the Ten Commandments. What happened to American culture? Oh, it got filled, got polluted. What came in? Idols came in. You know, people, you know, they'll never call them, you know, they'll never admit that these are idols or gods. The idols of money, the idols of sexuality, the idols of lust, the idols of power, the idols of self, all these things, carnality comes in. And people are, but they will never admit it. But in ancient Israel, before destruction, the image appears. Now there's a time when the prophet Ezekiel is taken in a vision to the temple, and he says, "What do you see?" And he sees an image. The image is a false god. He calls it the image, and then God says, "Okay, and now judgment's going to come." So the appearance of the image, a sign of a nation under judgment, and where judgment comes. Well, could this ever happen? We have an image of a false god. Well, here's what happens. In New York City, the place of the harbingers, all of a sudden, an image appears, and it's the image of a false god. It's a foreign god, just like in the days of Israel. What is it? It's an image that is of, it is a false god that appears on the Empire State Building. It is projected onto the Empire State Building. The head of the god alone is over 300 feet high. It has to be the biggest image of a false god in the world, and it's in America, in New York City. And what is the god? It's the god Kali, which is the god of darkness. And so here the god of darkness appears over New York City. And, you know, it's amazing because to make the god of darkness, they use light to project it. The Bible says in Isaiah, "Woe to those who use light for dark, or take light for darkness." So literally, America took light and created the god of darkness. Now, on the same day, Larry, you know, it was a Saturday. That means it was a Sabbath. That means there was an appointed word read all over the world and read all over New York City. What was the word when they were getting ready to put up the god, the idol, the image? The word was God saying, "Do not put up the image. Do not make images. Do not make the gods, because it's going to bring you judgment." It's the primary warning in the Bible against the image, and they put it up. So here you've got, over New York City, you have the god. Not only is it the god of darkness, it's the god of death and destruction over New York City. And her tongue is sticking out, dripping with blood, and talking about judgment, as if saying judgment will come to America and New York City.
This is also, what should I say, wonderful in a sense, because it reminds us of our great God, his mercy and grace. But it's also very tragic, because God has given all of these signs and people are just bypassing them and not hearkening and not listening. So what about the chapter called the Ninth of Tammuz? What is that about?
And we're not going to be politically correct, but we're going to be eternally correct.
Amen.
Okay, so I'll just say it. All right. There is a day on the biblical calendar when the walls of the nation were removed, when the protective walls were breached. And that was the signal that judgment, that's it, it was sealed. When the walls were breached, it was in the Babylonians when they broke through the wall, and on that same day the king of Israel fled, the protection of the nation, they just stopped protecting it, they fled. So the defenses of the nation are removed, the hedge is removed. Now, we went through, since 9/11, America's gotten far worse, and you know, before, we've watched it happen. It's descended rapidly. But we've watched also as America, under the Supreme Court, actually overturned the biblical definition of marriage, gigantic, and struck it down. And that has affected everything. And that is gigantic for any nation. So it did that. It did it on, it was June 26th in 2015, under Obama. Well, June 26th, well, hold on, before I even go before that. When the walls of Israel were removed and that judgment was sealed, the day, it became a day that they observed for generations. The day it happened on the biblical calendar is called, that's why you see the thing, it's called the Ninth of Tammuz, because it's the ninth of the month of Tammuz. So this was a day of mourning and tragedy, the day that the nation's wall, the hedge of defense, is removed for judgment to come. Well, the day that the Supreme Court struck down marriage was the Ninth of Tammuz. Was the day of the removing of the wall, the removing of the protection, the hedge is removed, and actually a hedge of 1,000 years, and that means you've opened the door to judgment.
Wow, sin is so awful. You know, it's just a three-letter word, S-I-N, but it's so awful. It ruins lives. It ruins people. It's deadly, eternally deadly. But say, Jonathan, before we close out, what about our special offer?
Well, listen, you're going to see things in the Harbinger, too. I know you guys are going to get the book and all that, but you're going to see things that are nowhere else, and I have that. But there was so much, I probably had 3,000 pages, I could not put it even into the book. So it's going to be, I do it for just a few people, and this is, you guys are one of them. It is the Harbinger, so I put together the Harbinger 2 Uncensored. This is the 8-DVD album where you're not only going to hear it, you're going to see the images, you're going to see things that are not seen anywhere else, you're going to hear things that are not heard anywhere else. You'll see the major thing, but you're going to see things that are not even in the book. There are things in the book that are not anywhere else either, but you're going to see things, including prophetic images that are nowhere else that happened, that you're going to see before your eyes, that was even before 9/11, that foreshadowed everything. You're going to see it literally, and you're not going to see this anywhere else, and this is not going to be available except just a few ministries, and particularly right here.
Well, thank you so much, Jonathan Kahn, for being our guest once again. And friends, during these days of the COVID-19 pandemic, we need to get into these mysteries that Jonathan has been revealing to us in his new book, The Harbinger 2. Matthew, our announcer, will come and tell you about our special offer. We have some really good materials for you that will be a real blessing. And these are days when we need God to touch our hearts. And this kind of material that we're hearing and that you're going to be reading and receiving, if you pick up the telephone, this will bless your heart, give you strength to stand strong in these dark, dark days.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our phones have been ringing off the hook. Everybody wants a copy of Jonathan Kahn's new book titled The Harbinger 2. You can have a copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can order by mail if you like. Our address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order online on our website at swrc.com. We also have Jonathan Kahn's new 8-DVD set with the same title, The Harbinger 2. You can have this amazing 8-hour teaching album for a gift of $45. Better yet, get both the book and the DVDs for a gift of $65. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. Our address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And our website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
We all keep waiting to hear some good news in the fight against the coronavirus. Well, here is some great news. Leave it to the Israelis. This is a story out of Tel Aviv. Critically ill COVID-19 patients recovered rapidly from respiratory failure after 3 days of treatment with RLF-100, a therapy granted fast-track designation in the United States, two drug companies said on Sunday.
That is great news. The drug is called Aviptadil. It's a synthetic form of a natural peptide that protects the lungs. The U.S.-Israeli company, NeuroRx Incorporated, partnered with Relief Therapeutics to develop the drug in the United States. In June, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted fast-track designation to RLF-100 for treatment of respiratory distress and COVID-19.
While a Phase 2/3 clinical trial with 70 patients is ongoing, RLF-100 is being administered on an emergency basis to some patients who are too ill to be admitted to the trial. The first report of rapid recovery under emergency use was posted by doctors from Houston Methodist Hospital, the company said in a joint statement. It said a 54-year-old man who developed COVID-19 while being treated for rejection of a double lung transplant came off a ventilator within 4 days of treatment with RLF-100.
Wow, rejection of a double lung transplant and COVID-19? And he still got better? That's amazing. That gives me hope, Pastor Larry. We know that there are many great men and women working around the clock to get rid of this demonic plague. The story goes to say that similar results were subsequently seen in more than 15 patients treated under emergency use.
When they say emergency use, that means that they have done all they could do and there's nothing left to do. So they will try anything. President Donald Trump signed the controversial Right to Try bill into law, which bypasses drug regulators to give gravely ill patients access to the experimental medicines. The legislation allows patients with life-threatening conditions to ask drug makers for medicines that have cleared some testing but still haven't been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This is another thing President Trump will not be given credit for. He ought to. He does so many good things. We all want to be healthy. No one wants to get sick. So we are encouraged to avoid crowds, practice social distancing, and wear face masks. Just as we are aware of viruses and other pathogens, Christians have to be aware of the spiritual germs and wrong thought patterns that can affect our spiritual health. A postmodern society is a corrupting society. Are you aware of some of the beliefs and trends that are corrupting you and your family?
One of the things that is a very negative influence is the breakdown of the family. The family, as presented in the Bible, is one of the stabilizing institutions that God has designed for national stability and success. But today, the idea of traditional marriage is considered an old-fashioned and worn-out idea.
Another thing that we have to be aware of is the fact that current terminology often masks the seriousness of sinful behavior. Adultery may be called a fling, or maybe an affair. It all sounds so polite and matter-of-fact. Sodomy is no longer called that because of its association with Sodom and Gomorrah. We foolishly think that by sanitizing the language, we've somehow changed the seriousness of sin.
In 1955, a movie was released starring Marilyn Monroe, the American sex symbol. The movie was titled The 7-Year Itch. It was based on a book released in 1952. The idea is that almost all men, after 7 years of marriage, are naturally driven to have an extramarital affair. Supposedly, it is some kind of a natural biological urge. I mean, you can't fight your biological urges, can you? We're only human, right? It goes along with the modern idea that if you resist natural urges, you are going to be miserable. So who wants to be miserable?
This kind of dangerous thinking removes personal accountability. If we are all animals, then we now have permission to act like animals. So, when a dog defecates in your flower bed, that is perfectly understandable. Or when someone is involved in adultery, that's okay. That person is no more than an animal.
Have you ever watched a spider wrapping a victim insect in more and more strands of spider web? The poor bug struggles and then gives up in exhaustion. That's when the spider moves in and eats.
If someone gets pregnant out of wedlock, you've always got a nearby Planned Parenthood facility just ready to finish off the poor baby. And then there is the political party that considers abortion health care. But being pregnant is not a disease, and a little baby is not a tumor.
Spiritual warfare is very real. There is a real devil. There are real demons, and you have people who are controlled by these dark forces. Some of them are nominated for high leadership positions in our government. So what happens to the culture? Violence, confusion, and protest.
There is only one answer. His name is Jesus. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy household." There is new life, hope, and joy when Jesus Christ is invited to come into a heart and into a home. Pastor John MacArthur recently won a big victory in his defiance of California Governor Gavin Newsom's attempt to restrict MacArthur's church from having indoor services. We addressed that in another post. However, another item has cropped up once again, the MacArthur-Beth Moore controversy. MacArthur sat on a panel of all-male ministers who openly mocked Moore, saying that she is a narcissistic and that she is hawking the gospel like a TV jewelry peddler. MacArthur said that Moore should stop preaching and go home.
Moore has responded and said, "Here's the beautiful thing about it, and I mean this with absolute respect. You don't have to let me serve you. That gets to be your choice. Whether or not I serve Jesus is not up to you. Whether I serve you certainly is. One way or the other, I esteem you as my sibling in Christ." Close quotes.
Cheered on by his fellow ministers, MacArthur said, "There is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher. Period. Paragraph. End of discussion." Close quotes. "But is that true?" asked Catherine Segers, contributing writer for Crosswalk.com. Paul addresses this charge in Titus 2:4, encouraging older women to teach younger women, to raise them up in the faith. MacArthur made no allowance for women preaching to other women. He made no allowance for older women shepherding younger women with their pastoral gifts. Close quote.
Why has Beth Moore become the focus of this controversial issue? In recent years, Moore has become an essential voice on the topic of misogyny and sexual abuse in church. As a sexual abuse survivor herself, she is challenging the power structures in the Southern Baptist denomination, of which she is a long-standing member. Furthermore, in a single tweet earlier this year, Moore said she would be speaking at her church on Mother's Day. Is a mother sharing a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day a sign of gross apostasy?
Seeger's comments focus on the issues and also on the need for further discussion. Quote, "Regardless of your views about a female minister preaching a rare message in front of a mixed crowd, men should take their role as protectors seriously instead of finding one more reason to attack women." Close quote.
Don't forget our special offer today is the new book and DVD set by Jonathan Kahn titled The Harbinger 2. Call or write today, 1-800-652-1144, or write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147, and visit us online at swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Jonathan Kahn wrap up this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.